Hello.
Oh! Whoever wanted this video in there messed up the whole Peace on Earth song that they were singing up here. Ay, ay, ay. Me too. I loved it. Those are the kind of movies that I like at Christmas. I have to say, for the last week or two, I have had to endure more Hallmark movies than a man should ever have to endure. I guess that's Peace on Earth. I'm not sure. But I'll take these any day. You used up all the glue. Anyway, good movies. It's probably more realistic. The movies that we saw, the previews here, is probably more realistic than most Hallmark movies. We want it to be like a Hallmark movie. We want to have peace on earth, especially at Christmas. But obviously Christmas doesn't always come with peace. And before I go any farther, it's great to have you guys here, most of you. But thank you for coming. I love having you here, and I will do my best to be out of here by 9 o'clock so that you can go home and get there for your Christmas things, because I know sleigh bells will be ringing overhead soon, you know. No, we'll be quick, but peace on earth. It's kind of like the theme of what we picked here, peace on earth, and obviously Christmas doesn't always bring peace. There's presents to wrap. Hopefully there's not presents to still wrap, men. I have two to wrap when I get home. Vicky's in the nursery, so I can say that now. Anyway, but, you know, there's things to make. There's things in the oven. There's things to bake. There's cookies. There's all kinds of stuff there. When you get to opening presents tomorrow, it's like, you know, wild over there sometimes. And it's like, where is the peace that we're supposed to have at Christmas? Why is there such a big deal about peace with Christmas? Where did peace ever come into Christmas anyway? And it would be great to have peace this time of year, I would think. And so I looked up in the dictionary what peace means. So see if this describes your Christmas, okay? One definition was freedom from disturbance, tranquility. Isn't that your house on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning? Freedom from disturbance and tranquility. And every woman can relate to the word. They put a sentence in with a definition. Every woman can relate to this because they have it most of the time. Peace means you can while away an hour or two in peace and seclusion. Doesn't that sound like your life? You're just, where's your wife? She's home whiling away the hours in peace and, you know. And another one is, I guess, mental calm or serenity. And their definition was the peace of mind insurance policy can give you. Okay. So if you die, you don't have to worry anymore. Duh. You're not going to do any. But anyway. But another one is a state or period in which there's no war or war has ended. Another one is freedom from civil disorder. Another one is freedom from dispute or dissension between individuals or groups. Remember that when your families are all together in those pretty cool times when there's always peace. But I was thinking about that. If that's really the definition of peace, it's no wonder a lot of beauty contestants who are voted the fairest of them all are going to work towards world peace. It used to be every other one said they're going to work towards world peace if they get voted. And the problem with that, actually, if it was possible to find world peace, that would be a really cool thing to work towards, but it's never going to happen. So why is peace so associated with Christmas? Why does peace have so much to do with Christmas? It has a lot to do with Christmas because of two things that happened at the birth of Jesus Christ. One is in Luke 2, 8 to 16. It said, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be assigned to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Then the angel had left them, was going into heaven. The shepherds came to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests. The angels were bringing a direct speech from God. And their speech from God was very clear. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. That's where peace comes from. Another place it comes from, and that's the angels did that. Another place is a biblical prophecy by Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was prophesying about the Messiah being born someday, Jesus in the manger. And he made this prophecy when he wrote the book of Isaiah between AD 7 and 800, like in the 8th century. And this is what Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 says. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The Prince of Peace was a description of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And of that peace, there will be no end. It's a biblical prophecy. So what's interesting to me, and what I started to study this week, was so what happened to the peace on earth that the angel promised? What happened to the peace on earth that Isaiah talked about when the Prince of Peace were here and the peace would never end? So when they said peace on earth, they must not have meant it the way we think about it, the way a beauty contestant would talk about it. Like the succession of wars and anger and stuff like that. We know that. We know the angels and Isaiah wouldn't have lied. So what happened to the peace on earth? Sometime we know in the next 2 years. 2 years after the angels appeared and that prophecy came true. 2 years after that, Herod, who was the king when Jesus was born, issued a decree that every single person under the, every single male under the age of 2 was to be slaughtered in the area of Bethlehem and the surrounding area. They were murdered, slaughtered these babies. There was no peace on earth. There was mourning heard all throughout the land, the Bible says. He was hoping to kill the young Messiah because he heard and he knew some of the prophecies that were told about him. And besides that, in the next, in the 20th century, which was the 1900s, in the 20th century, just the 20th century, 187 million people died in wars. Just in the 20th century. I mean, there was no peace on earth. So what's with this thing the angels are talking about? So it obviously doesn't mean the kind of peace on earth that people think when a war stops and now there's going to be peace. So if you read Luke 2:14 a little closer, it says, "On earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Okay, so maybe it's not going to be peace on the whole earth. It's just going to be peace on the people that God's favor rests. And if you're a church person, a believer in Christ, and I ask you, on whom does God's favor rest? You would say, on believers in Jesus Christ. People that have accepted his death on the cross for their sins, because Jesus came to die for lost people, of which every one of us were born lost and separated from God. And we don't have a relationship with God. And so when we come to hear the truth of the scriptures and we accept that for ourselves that Jesus died for me, we are born again into Christ. His favor rests on us. So it seems like God's favor doesn't rest on everybody, so maybe it's only to those, you know, believers. So you figure, surely God's favor rested on Jesus, okay, as he was growing up. When he was 30 years old, he went to be baptized by John the Baptist, right? You remember what happened there, right? He was coming out of the water, and the heavens opened up, and a voice came out, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit just... So obviously, God was pleased, his favor rested on Jesus. Well, what happened to Jesus 3 years later? He went through the rest of his life, and everybody liked him. He was so popular, people just treated him like he was the Messiah, and they loved him, and they treated him like a hero, right? Everywhere he went, people hated him, and they mercilessly, or whatever that word is, crucified him and tortured him. So it can't mean that on people that God's favor rests, because obviously God's favor rested on him. Shortly after that, he had 12 disciples. 10 of them were tortured and killed. And one was a hypocrite and one was boiled in oil, but he didn't die. So they banished him to an island of Patmos. And so obviously, you know, they didn't have peace. Acts 6, 7, then came a man named Stephen. And the Bible says a man full of God's grace and power. He performed great wonders and signs among the people. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know, Stephen was a man honored by God. And they accused him and were stoning him to death. And as stones were pelting upon his head and his body, heaven opened up and he looked up and there was Jesus in a standing ovation position honoring Stephen as he was being martyred. Obviously, God's favor rested on him, but there wasn't peace in his life the way we think about peace. After Stephen's persecution broke out against Christians, from then on, from then till now, over 70 million Christians have been killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Their faith in that, the Messiah, that little baby who was announced to the world and called Prince of Peace. So when we read it and say, we hear that, you know, peace to those on whom God's favor rests, it must not mean believers in Jesus Christ. We must have a misunderstanding of peace on earth. It would be really nice, but it's never going to happen. So what's the story about peace on earth? So to find it, we need to go back to the beginning. So we're going to go back to Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to try to read through the Bible as fast as I can. So just follow along on the screen. Genesis 1, well, I'll just read the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1 to 1:31. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God saw that he had made was good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. That's the short version of that first chapter of Genesis. Fortunately, I got presents to wrap yet. Anyway, but that's the very beginning. And God created everything. He made man, and he made woman, he made the earth. And when he looked at it, he stood back and he looked at it on the sixth day and he said, it's good. Everything that he made was good. There was peace on earth. There was the kind of peace that we recognize. There was peace, spiritual peace. There was peace in their relationship with God. There was peace in their health. There was peace with the animals and everything that was created. But you know the problem. By Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And all of a sudden, for the first time, we get entered into the world, Satan. The angel that fought against God in heaven because he wanted to be like him and was cast out of heaven to the earth. And he came in the form of a serpent. And he brought an interesting choice to human beings. Are you going to obey God? Or are you going to disobey God? And I want to tell you what, God has his own agenda, Satan was telling Eve. So if you do eat the fruit, if you do disobey God, life's going to be better for you. it's going to be greener on the other side of the garden, you know, and it's going to be really cool. And so she believed, and Adam believed, and they ate the fruit. Now, the fruit wasn't poison. It didn't do anything to them. It was the disobedience when they chose to go against God. They chose to say, we don't believe you, God. We know better. The same thing Satan was cast out of heaven for. And when that happened, peace left the garden. Sin entered the world. It was invited in by the disobedient choice of the man and the woman. Did God really say you must not eat? Sin entered the world. The next thing we see in the garden, the minute after that, we see Cain, who was Adam and Eve's son, Cain, and he killed his brother Abel, brother against brother, and it's been that way for a long time throughout the world. And by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, look, we're at Genesis 6 already. We only have how many more books of the Bible? You know, we'll get there. Anyway, Genesis 6, 5 to 8. The Lord saw how great, this is only in three chapters. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Now, this statement, you don't hear a lot in church. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I had made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he looked down on earth, and there was one person that still honored him, and that was Noah. And so, you know what comes next. Noah builds the ark and there's the flood. And I know a lot of people, even church people, are saying, well, that didn't really happen. That was just stories. Well, I want to tell you what. If you are, this is my commercial. If you come back, not next week, next week, I'll still be preaching. So take off. I'm kidding. The following week, we start a three-week series. The Bob Jr. starts a three-week series on creation evolution. And they're going to be looking at things like that. And I'm going to tell you what, it is so much more provable now. The world is just dying in there, trying to hang on to their old beliefs. The Bible is being proven again and again and again. And you're going to be highly encouraged by that and go away a lot more intelligent. But it's so cool. So what happened? Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and God destroyed all the world except Noah and his wife and their three sons and their three daughter-in-laws. And after the flood, you think, okay, we have good people, we have peace on earth and all this kind of stuff. But after the flood, the human race repopulated the earth only to prove there was still no peace on earth. And it got up into the point until Genesis 12, chapter 12, as man walked away from God. Genesis chapter 12, God chose a race of people. He specifically chose a race of people through Abraham. He made Abraham the Jewish nation. He chose this race of people. Why did he choose them? Because Abraham was a good guy, okay? And God chose this race. And in Genesis 12, 2 to 3, God said, I will make you, speaking to Abraham, I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. A couple thousand years later, through that chosen people and its patriarch Abraham, God would enter our world as a small child, once and for all, make a way for men and women to return to peace on earth and on men to whom God's favor rests. Now, the angels weren't talking about physical peace. Okay, something that everybody wants to work towards. They weren't talking about physical peace, but something more lasting, more impactful. They were talking about spiritual peace. Spiritual peace. We're not going to ever, I hate to break it to you, but we're not going to ever have peace on earth. And I'll tell you what, I bless those people that work towards that, and we should be working towards that, but it's never going to happen. It's going to be a futile pursuit because the world is full of evil people, and they don't look evil and they don't act evil all the times, although a lot of them do, but they just have turned away from God and there'll never be peace. So the angels were talking about spiritual peace. Jesus came to redeem us and buy us back from the consequences of our disobedient choice not to need God or not to obey God. Because that's what our choice was in every one of us, even though we were born sinful. We have chosen to go against God, to disobey God in some form or another. And when we disobey, we give in to sin, and sin always tears down. Sin always destroys. Sin always brings turmoil. Maybe not at first, but as it grows in our lives, it brings turmoil. And Jesus came to buy us back from that consequences, the eternal separation from God. He came to be the sacrificial lamb. He came to live perfect and die on the cross for our sins in my place. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save us from the eternal consequences of sin. So what really, literally, we should be asking and what we should be thinking about is, how do I find that forgiveness? How do I find that restoration back to eternal relationship with the God who created me? How do I find that kind of peace? And you're not going to buy it in a store. You're not going to get it from your family. You're not going to find it at work. You're not going to find it driving down the road. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. If you go to church here, you're going to be tired of me quoting this verse all the time. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ. In other words, included in the Messiah's plan for our life. Included in His peace. Taken out of the world, included in the peace that Jesus Christ came to offer. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. And I've said that we were lost. Every one of us was lost. No matter how good we look and no matter how, we're lost spiritually. We're sinful people, as impolitically correct as that is to say. You're just all a bunch of sinners. Us all. Nothing I could do good enough to gain God's favor. Nothing I could do good enough to have that peace back, because any amount of sin brings disorder. But God came to die in my place and forgive me of that sins, literally to take away the consequences of my sin. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee. Now here it is. The moment I believed in Christ, God Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in my life. He's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You know what He said? Bob, you're going to be in this world, and there's going to be trouble in this world, but I'm guaranteeing you that the second you step off of this world, you will live in eternal peace, eternal forgiveness, an eternal relationship with me as it was, if not better, than it was in the Garden of Eden. That's what God has to offer me. And we're looking for peace on earth, and we're not going to find peace on earth. Even Jesus didn't have the peace on earth. God's not promising peace on earth. Although, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that this promise doesn't always bring physical peace on earth. It doesn't. When you accept Christ as your Savior, when you are marked in Him with the seal of the promise, Holy Spirit, you don't all of a sudden have peace. If you accept Christ as your Savior tonight, I'm not going to guarantee you when you leave here, all the traffic lights will turn green for you. All the ones in Pine Grove will turn green for you. The one. All one of them, yeah. It might, until maybe God will bless you that way, you know. All the stop signs are going to have shotgun holes blown in them and laying over. They're not going to be there. You won't even have to stop on your way home. And nobody will run into you because now you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And it's not that kind of peace that God's talking about. You know that. You're not going to get to open your presents and your little kids are going to say, "One, Mom, is it my turn yet? Okay, I'll just sit here. Grandma, this is the greatest sweater. And you knitted it. You just bless your heart, Grandma." It's not going to happen as a believer in Jesus Christ. You're going to have a lot of struggles. Traffic lights are going to turn on you. People are going to run into you. You're going to run into them. This promise doesn't always bring physical peace on earth. It does have an amazing impact on us physically. You live right before God, and you will actually feel better. Your health, any, what are they called? Medical people. Any of the medical people will tell you that. It will impact you physically. It'll impact you emotionally. But spiritually is where the impact of Christ came to give peace in your spirits. Way down in the bottom of you. It's just there's something that's a peace. In the middle of the storm, there's peace. John 16:33, Jesus is really cool. He said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And understand that this world cannot destroy you spiritually. It can hurt you physically. It can hurt you emotionally, and it will. But spiritually, you are untouchable by this world. Another way to describe that peace, I'm going to read you a couple of verses in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:35-40. Now understand that this is talking about like some of the best people that ever lived back then. This is the heroes of the faith. These were people that were like, let me tell you about a believer in Christ. This guy was awesome. And there's a whole chapter of these people. And he comes right down to the end of the chapter. He said, there were others, okay, who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some of them faced jeers and flogging. See, that wasn't a relief from this world's peace. And even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. See, that doesn't sound like the kind of peace that the world thinks that God came to give. These were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what he had been promised. That peace, that promise, peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. None of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God is talking about in our hearts for all of eternity, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You will not always experience that on earth, but it wasn't meant for earth. It was meant for all of eternity, because we're only going to be here for 70, 80, 90, some of you guys 110 years old. Can't see them there in the back. But that's what God came to offer. Now we're right, we want to be satisfied really quick, so we want to have this peace all of a sudden. But you know what? When I go to visit people that are dying, that have 1 or 2 weeks to live, I'm going to tell you what, they're thinking about eternity. And some of them say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And some of them say, I need that because I'm scared to death. That's the kind of peace that Jesus came to give. And we still want to live the best we can. We still want to strive for peace with people. The Bible says, do your best to live at peace with everybody around you. But that's not the peace that God promised. The angels weren't lying. Isaiah wasn't lying. John 14:25-27 says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remain in you. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I'm not going to give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And see, that's the difference between somebody with peace in their heart. Even though the nasty things happen, and even though our family falls apart, and even though other things happen around us, and even though we work with stupid people, we can still have peace in our heart. That someday it'll be over, and it seems like it's going to be a long way off, but it's not a long way off. So what's interesting tonight, we're looking at peace, and my question is, are you looking for peace? Are you looking for peace? Does your world seem out of control or frustrating? Does the future seem hopeless for you? You're wondering, what is it in the future? Why aren't good things happening to me? What's happening in this world? What's happening in our political realm? What's happening around the world? I want to tell you, there is hope. There is a hope for peace in this world, but it's not the kind of peace the world looks for. Wars will not stop. People will not get nicer, and disease and poverty will not go away ever. I'm sorry to deliver that to you on Christmas Eve. You probably didn't know that was true. But the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven and your future is bought and paid for all eternity by the sacrifice of this little baby, God in flesh. I'm telling you what, that is worth far more than anything else in this world. So tonight, we'd be remiss if we didn't say you can have that peace. I don't know some of you guys. Most of you look like nice people. Other people I'm not sure of. Cody, I wasn't really looking at you specifically. I was looking at the guy behind you, Jesse. But anyway, inside, if you look down the bottom of your life, do you see peace for the future that an insurance policy can't bring? Do you feel like there's questions that aren't answered and there's like junk in your life and you don't know what to do about it and it feels like your life's falling apart, or you just feel like you get to the end of yourself? I want to tell you what, there can be peace that will help that. But really what we're talking about and what the Bible is about is that eternal peace that God brings, that only He can bring. Peace of knowing your sins are forgiven. Praise team, come on up, you guys. This is my really smooth segue into them coming up. And how come you're always carrying apple juice around? Does that help your throat when you're singing that high girly notes? Yeah. It's whiskey. Jeez. I love that peace song. And Clint, on the other hand, has got the low, really manly voice. And he told me a secret today. Chocolate chip cookies. He says that chocolate has something to soothe your throat and let you get down deep like that. I think that's just an excuse. But I want to tell you something. Seriously, I want to offer you peace just to get to the point where you say, God, and I want to read you one more verse, but just to get to the point where you say, God, I would like to have that peace. I don't know if I have that peace. I don't know if I was laying there dying now, if I would spend eternity with you, or if I would be separated from you because of the sin in my life. You're never going to be perfect. Your sins will never be taken away. They will be forgiven. The desire to sin will not be taken away. You can grow out of that and grow more and more like Christ, but the penalty for sins, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, eternal death. I love having peace from that. So if you're here tonight, what a great night on Christmas Eve to sit there as they're singing this next song or whatever and say, God, I want that peace. I believe that you died for me. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And the Lord be with you all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you that there is a Christmas Eve. Thank you that there is a Christmas morning. I thank you for the announcement the angels made and the way you had planned this since the beginning. That at this day, Christ would be born, the Messiah would be born to seek and to save lost people, and he would give his life for us. It's hard to picture that baby. But that baby was God in flesh. Thank you that you sent him to us. Thank you that you made us to enjoy opening presents and receiving gifts. I pray that we might enjoy just as much the giving of these gifts. Thank you for the food, the celebration, for the families. And I pray that as much as possible on this earth, we may strive for peace during this season. But more importantly, that we will have peace about our eternity when we leave this building. You're a great God. And one more thing, Jesus, happy birthday. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I hope you get that green light on the way home. Great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. Good to have you back anytime you want. See you later. Have fun.